come back and look at this here, looking at the Lord's Supper. We're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 17. And we'll read through about 17 verses. It says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But if we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you again, Lord, as we break the bread of life, your word, spread it before us. Lord, teach us and help us. Give us understanding. Give us spiritual eyes to see, and help me to speak with clarity, Lord. Speak through me. Help me not to say anything that I shouldn't. I need you, Lord. And I pray you'd help me, that your word would have free course. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this, examine this further study in 1 Corinthians on the Lord's table, we understand from this passage that the Lord's table should bring us together in unity and clarify our purpose as executors of His testament. It should bring us together in unity, not disunity as we see at the beginning of the chapter, and clarify our purpose as executors of His testament, His covenant, that we are to execute His laws. That's what we are to do. It should clarify that for us. The purpose, one of the purposes of the Lord's Supper is to instill and strengthen our unity. We can see that in the very beginning because they had disorder there. They had disunity. It wasn't what it should be. It says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse." What you're doing is wrong. I'm not praising you. You're coming with all the wrong motives. You're coming for all the wrong reasons. This corrupt practice of the Lord's Supper had made the church worse, not better. When we don't keep the ordinances as they were given to us, it makes things worse, not better. We can't improve on the way God did it. I know man a lot of times thinks that he can improve on the way that God has done things, and we try and attempt to do that, but we're really not. It may look good to the world, but ask the Laodiceans what God thought of the way they were doing things. Go ahead and read about it in Revelation chapter 3. Don't do it now, but look at it. God wasn't impressed with what they'd done. Although to the world, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's what they said. We've got everything. We're doing things great. Look at how many people come to our church. Look at all these blessings God's given to us. And God says, "You make me sick. I want to throw you up." That's what God said of them. So we want to make sure we're doing it God's way, not man's way. We have no right to change the table, to corrupt the practice of it like they were doing. See, it didn't bring unity. It didn't make things stronger. It made things worse when they didn't properly keep the ordinances as they were given. And that's one of the things that it means to be an executor. We still have that today, an executor of somebody's will. That's what this is, his last will and testament. That's what we call it. We still say that today. He appoints an executor. Before you die, you have to appoint an executor to your will. And that person is to carry out your will to the letter. They don't get to change it. Now, I know that they do, and it has happened, but they have no legal right to do that.
Amen.
They can't do that. And if it gets brought before a judge, there'll be consequences. And guess what? We're all going to stand before a judge. And if we don't keep His testament as He gave it to us, there's going to be consequences for us. I'm talking believers now. So we don't get to change it. We just have to keep it. That's what it means to be the executor. We keep it as He wrote it. We don't get to change it. When we change it, we mess it up. We make things worse. Although we may think and we may do it with good intentions, we don't get to do that. We don't have that right. We have to keep it as God gave it to us. And as they changed it, it made things worse. They're not coming together for the better, but for the worse. They were coming in at separate times to partake and not as one body. It says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. There's divisions. There's no unity there. Everyone's got their little group that they come in with. Because we don't understand what the Lord's body means and what it means to be a part of His kingdom. That we're one body and one flesh. Look at chapter 12, verse 12. Go ahead and look there. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. See, we're all one. We're all part of that one body. When we get baptized and become a member, we're all one. We're one body. And He says, hey, there's divisions among you. Something's not right here in Corinth. You've corrupted the practice of the Lord's table, and because you've done that, things are worse. There's division. Everybody's just doing it their own way. They're partaking at separate times, not as one body. Verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There's heresies, divisions, different doctrines. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So what was happening is you had different groups of people coming in, and some people had some money, so they'd come in and do the Lord's Supper, and they'd have a big old feast because they had money, and then these other poor brethren over here, because everyone kind of just gets with their little groups, and the poor people stay together, the rich people stay together, and the poor people show up at a different time, and they're there starving, and they don't have any food to eat, and they come to partake of the Lord's table. There was no unity going on. Complete disunity. Why? Because when we get into this body, we're all one. Every distinction you ever had out there is gone as soon as you walk in these doors. We're coming into a kingdom as servants. I don't care if you're the mayor, if you're the president, you have as much authority in here as anybody else.
Amen.
Because there's an equal brotherhood. We're all just servants. And God puts us in the body where He sees fit to fill our position. So every distinction you have out there disappears. It's gone. That's why the Bible talks about, Paul talked about whether you're bond or free, we're all one in Christ. There's unity. It doesn't matter if you're a slave out there. He said, you may be a slave out there, but in here, that's gone. You're a Jew out there, you're a Gentile out there, when we come part of the church, it's gone. No distinction.
Amen.
None whatsoever. So what they were doing is they had these divisions, these heresies. They had false doctrines saying, oh, we'll stay with our group over here. You guys over there, how's that unity? He said, oh, I praise you not in this. You're corrupting the practice of the table. You don't understand the meaning. It's communion. So I said, primarily it's with the Lord, but also with each other. It's supposed to bring us all closer together. Why? Because we're communing with Him. If we're right with Him, we'll be right with each other. They were corrupting that whole practice. They had that whole thing messed up. And Paul said, I don't praise you in this. You're making classes within the church. Different class of people. That's how Catholicism started. You got a priestly class. That's what it was. Oh, the clergy. No clergy and lady.
Amen.
There's a brotherhood. Saints. That's what it is. That's what we are. I'm not better than anybody else in here. Or is anyone else better than me in here?
Amen.
Equal brotherhood. This thing got so bad, they were corrupting it so bad that people were even getting drunk. This is a great example for us not to stick with the same group we're always with, but to welcome new people and even older people into our circles. You may not think like you're excluding people, and we all need to be cautious of this because we all kind of just fall into that rut of just going with who we're comfortable with. Just start fellowship with everyone. Look to sit with different people. Look to talk with different people in the service. You know, I'm not comfortable with them. We don't really know each other. Well, how are you going to get to know each other? You know, break off so there's unity, so we can get to know each other. This is the God said, I don't praise you in that. What you're doing is wrong. There's no little splinter groups in here. This group here, this group here, this group here, this group here. No, we're all one piece. We're all part of that one body, that one bread. The table properly observed does away with any class or money distinction because we're equal in his kingdom. As they made these distinctions and perverted the table, they showed their disdain for the Lord's church. Look what it says in verse 22. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? They were shaming their brothers. You want to corrupt this practice of the Lord's table? You despise the church of God? It's a rhetorical question. He's saying, as you do that, you're despising the Lord's body, his church. You don't care about his church. You care about you and how you want to do it. If you cared about his church, then you'd be a proper executor of his testament. That's what, when we boil it all down, that's what the Lord's table comes down to keep us proper executors of his testament. That's what it boils down to. And when we don't keep it the way that he says, what we're declaring is, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do it my way. That's what it is. It doesn't matter what fancy words they use and whatever they may say or whatever we may say in our heart. It doesn't matter. Those that corrupt the practice, different churches do different things and the way they handle it. None of it matters how sincere they may be. You can be sincerely wrong. I mean, if I stand here and I declare boldly and I just adamant about it, 2 + 2 = 5, it doesn't matter. I'm still wrong. My intentions don't matter. Well, I wanted you to get $5 back in change, not 4. Maybe I had good intentions for you. It doesn't matter. You're still wrong. We don't get to change things because we think it's for the best. It's his testament. Amen. We just execute what he said, what he wrote down. You have no right to change it. When we do change it, we just show that we despise his church. Contrary to what we may say, our actions show that we despise his church when we don't keep his testament. And not just in this, it can be in other things as well. The table also needs to clarify our purpose as executors of his testament. It's to bring unity. There was disunity in this church. It should bring us together, not make divisions, splinter groups. We should all come together. The bond of unity. That's what this should do. Bond us closer together. If any of you have ever seen plywood, what that is, or even OSB, it's just a bunch of different pieces of wood that, I mean, they're just shavings and breakings and stuff and just different pieces of wood. And what they do is under high pressure with glue, they just smash those things together and it bonds it. And OSB is really like cheap wood that you use for paneling, like when you're building houses or something, you really don't want to do anything nice with it. But it can be as strong as plywood, which is built a little differently. But OSB is just super high pressure pushed together with glue, and they make it different thicknesses, and it's bonded together, and you don't get it apart. I mean, it's stuck together, and that's how we should be as a church body, that we are bonded together, and nothing's going to break us apart. Amen. That's it. You know, people, because we don't understand doctrine, because we don't understand what the church is, the importance of it, you know, I've seen people pretty much since I got into church really just despise the church of God. They'll just, I'm going to this church. I'm going to this one. No, I'm going to go to this one. I'm over here. I'm not going. You know, because of corruption of doctrine. But we have no right to do that. See, the Bible says God puts us in this body. So you should never leave a church until God has put you in another body. Until God has said, this is where you need to go.
Amen.
That's the only reason why, unless the doctrine's corrupt. If the doctrine's corrupt, get out. But if the doctrine's good, and God hasn't told you to leave, you have no business leaving. You're doing that of your own free will, not God. God needs to be the one to move you because God puts you in the body. Anybody here, has God given you like a third hand or something that I don't know about? Another elbow? Extra kneecap? No? See, God doesn't do that, does He? He puts us in the body to be there. And it's pretty rare that He pulls somebody out. The only way He does that I see in the Bible, is multiply them. Go out and start another body. That's healthy reproduction. That's the only way that happens. So, it's to bring unity. When we're unified, it shows that we don't despise the church of God. And again, it clarifies our purpose as executors of His testament. Look at verses, well, we'll pick up through it, but it's going to be verses 23 through 34. Now, He says in verse 24, "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me.'" The bread is representative of His body in two aspects, okay? So He says that, "Take, eat, this is My body." He grabs the bread, "which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." So He took the bread, gives thanks, He breaks it, and He says, "This is My body." It's representative in two ways, okay? First, His physical body given for us. When He was standing there doing the first Lord's Supper, it was His physical body. He says, "I'm about to offer this for you. I'm going to shed My blood for your sins. I'm giving My body. It's broken for you. I'm giving it for you." Okay, that's one way. The second way is His church representing Him here on earth. I said it's representative of the Lord in two ways. First, His physical body, and secondly, His body, which is here on earth. Let's go, if we would. Just want you to see it. Find it real quick. Sorry, trying to find my spot. Give me a sec. It's going to be in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 18 says, "And He," speaking of Christ, "is the head of the body, the church." Okay, it's His body. He's the head, it's His body. All right, and then also verse 24, He says, "Who now rejoice in My sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in My flesh for His body's sake," for Christ's body's sake, which is the church. So this is His body. So it's representative in those two ways, okay? We represent Him here on this earth. He's the head. He's in heaven. He's given us His mind. We can know the mind of Christ. This is how we're to execute His will. This is what we're to do. He's taught us through His word. So we just do what He says, and we're His body. We're His hands and feet. We do what He tells us to, okay? We don't do what we want. We do what He says. That's how it works. We're His body, okay? So that's how the bread is representative of Him. Now the cup says in verse 25, "After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying," this cup is what? You all help me. What is the cup? That's right, "the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." He says, this is the New Testament in My blood. So the cup is the New Testament in His blood. Now, it's important, we'll look at that a little bit more here, but we've understood, I've mentioned it already. The cup is the New Testament. Okay, the cup is what we're to keep. All right, the body is a memorial. We look back at it, but it's the cup represents the New Testament, the new covenant that He's given to us, okay? His will and testament. We're to be executors of that. That's what it is. It's in the cup. All right? Verse 26 now, it goes on to say, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." Now, there's two meanings in partaking of the supper. There's a bunch going on right here. I'm just kind of pointing some things out as we go. First, it's memorial. It looks back. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," so as you come to My table, He says, here's what you're doing. "Ye do show the Lord's death." So every time we do it, we're picturing His death. So what is that for us? We're looking back. It's memorial. We look back at what He did for us. It's a reminder of the salvation that He offers for us, that He did give His body, that He did shed His blood for the remission of our sins. That's what it's talking about. That's what it's saying He did for us. It's memorial looking back, okay? You do show the Lord's death, but it also looks forward to what He will do for us at His return. Look at this. "We do show the Lord's death till He come." Hey, it's a reminder. Praise God, He's coming back. Amen. That should get us excited right there, but here's what else it should do. What I say one of the purposes of the Lord's table is? One of the main purposes of it. To purify us. To purify us. So if I say, hey, praise God, my Savior's coming back. Then wait a minute though. Am I ready? He gives some warnings about some wicked and slothful servants that ignored the fact that the Lord went away and He was coming back. They didn't do the things that they should. So it should remind us that He is coming back. Thank God for that. But, oh, He's coming back. Let me examine myself. You see? Every time we do it, you see how it purifies the church? It looks back. We can thank God for what He did. Hey, He gave me salvation. He forgave all my sins. But guess what else it does? It tells us He's coming back. And thank God for that. But wait, He's coming back. So I better make sure I'm ready for Him at His coming, because He could come at any time. So I better be ready for the Lord to come back. Guess what? Death could be on our door just like that. We don't know it. We're going to meet the Lord like that too. If He doesn't come back before we die, in death we'll meet Him. So we better be ready. We better be proper executors of His testament, of His will, of what He said, meaning we keep the words that He wrote. Again, the purpose of the supper is to purify the body, and this happens when we realize that we are to be worthy executors of His testament. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So whosoever, He says, shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. If we don't come worthy, if we don't come having our life in the proper order, having examined ourselves as worthy executors, He says, hey, watch out now. You're going to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And some of us are like, what does that mean? We have to live up to the expectations He gave to those who are to carry out His dying wishes. We have to live up to those expectations. He wrote it down so we'd know. If we're not worthy, if we partake unworthily, we're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So what does that mean? To be guilty of His body means we don't care if we bring harm to His church. As it said over here in verse 22, or despise ye the church of God. See, the church is His body. And it says, if we come unworthily to this, then we are guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So what is that talking about? Well, when we understand what the body is, the bread's representative of that. It's speaking of His church, His body, which is here. His body, which is the church. We read that. Okay, so we're not properly esteeming His church if we come unworthily to it. Meaning if we're not examining ourselves, if we're not looking at our life, if we're not being what a Christian should be. I was speaking with someone before the service and talking about the covenant that we're going to sign and looking at everything that the covenant says. And that person said to me, well, I read that and it just seems like that's what a Christian should be. Amen, that's exactly what it is. That's just what a Christian should be. If we're that, then there shouldn't be a problem. Now that's why we can confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will do those things for us. Thank God for that. But what we ought to be is just what God expects us to be. What a Christian should be. Don't compare yourself to other Christians out there, other churches out there that are your traditional Baptist, okay? Or whatever it may be. You know, may know people that profess Jesus Christ as their Savior and they don't live anything for the Lord at all. Bunch of religious hypocrites. Don't compare yourself to them and say, I'm pretty good compared to them. God's not going to show up and say, oh, hey, you did a lot better than them. He's going to look at you if you don't live up to that, if you're not worthy to come and partake of His table. He'll come to you and He'll say, hey, depart from me. Wicked and slothful servant. That's what He'll tell you. He's not going to come in rejoicing. Look at this church. Paul said, here on earth, this church was doing things all corrupt. And he says, hey, shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. The way they were living, the way they were acting, as they were executing the testament that was given to them in this day, Paul said, I can't praise you in that. So you think Paul can't praise them, but God's going to? No. This is why he told them, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Look at your own self. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Stop looking at things that have happened in your life and say, well, I'm doing this because of this and my life's unfair and everything that happened to me isn't fair. So what? You can't change it. You can't change what's happened to you. All you can do is choose from this day forward to live for God. That's all you can do. That's what you can do. God understands what you've been through. He knows. And He still says, child, follow me. Examine yourself. Don't make excuses for why you're doing wrong. He says, fix it. That's what this is about. That we'd be worthy executors of His testament. You're going to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. If we're guilty of the body of God, we don't care if we bring harm to His church. We can do that through neglect, through disorderly living, not being a good representative of the name of Jesus Christ. Just living in sin, in whatever way, shape, or form that takes. That's how we can bring neglect or despise, disdain to the church of God. Be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. We don't esteem it like we should. It means something to the Lord. And His table is to remind us of that so that we'd examine ourselves and say, wait a minute, I haven't been looking at the Lord's body like I should. This church hasn't meant to me what it should. It doesn't mean to me what it does to the Lord. I better fix that. That's what this is saying. To be guilty of His blood means you have a complete disregard for His wishes after His death. Verse 25 again says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. The cup's the New Testament. That's what it is. Meaning what He left for us. The words that He left for us to follow, to abide by as executors. He appointed that to His church. And He expects us to carry it out to the letter of the law, not to change it. Remember, they were changing things there? And God said, I'm not happy about this. This is not good. This isn't for the better. This is for the worse as you've changed things. You've corrupted things. This is not good, what you've done. We don't get to do that. So when we're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, means we don't care what His Word says. I'm going to live how I want to. I'm not going to carry it out. I don't care if it says that. I don't have to do that. Who do you think you are to tell me that? Bunch of legalists around here. You're just guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What does this book say? That's what we're to follow. That's what we're to carry out. I haven't had anybody come to me and tell me that covenant, oh, that's wrong. I haven't had anyone do that. People get mad at holy living because it hits right where they live. That's why people don't like it. That's why people start claiming you're a legalist. Because they don't like the way you're living based on the Word of God. This is all voluntary, by the way. I want to mention that. I want to stress that this is all voluntary. We get to choose this. But this is only the way every Christian should live. That's all. Nothing other than that. That's just what God expects of us. And if we're dead to self as we go into those waters, we won't have a problem with it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, that's the problem. By the way, that was the problem in Corinth too. They were all spiritual babies. Read 1 Corinthians 3. They were carnal. A baby is selfish, period. It's all about a baby. I don't care whose baby it is, mine, yours, any baby. It doesn't matter. They're all selfish. It's all about them. We have to train them not to be that way. And all of us still as adults, we fight it. Every one of us fights it, the focus of self. We're all naturally selfish. That's why there were so many problems in this church is because they were carnal. That's why there was the divisions is because they were carnal. They were spiritual babies that had stopped growing because they didn't understand the milk of the Word. Well, what is the milk of the Word? Hey, that is the doctrine of Christ. That is the church. That's the foundation of the church right there. They didn't get it. That's why they despised the church of God is because they didn't understand what the church was. They didn't understand their role in that, being executors, being a part of the body. And through that, through them not understanding these things, they were guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. They didn't care what God said because they didn't understand that He is coming back. And when He comes back, Hey, if you're right with him, oh man, you're going to be saying, praise God, there he is. Amen, there's my Savior. But if you're not, you're going to be, oh no. You're going to be trying to hide out. That's what you're going to be doing. You're not going to want to see him. You're, wait, come back in an hour. Let me get things. I don't want you to catch me here. I don't want you to catch me doing this. Don't come back yet. Like he doesn't already know. Verse 29 says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. If we choose to eat and drink unworthily, and again, it's not that, well, I'm unworthy, so I'm going to excuse myself. That's not it. Purpose is you get it right. You're unworthy, so you look at your life, you examine yourself, and you get it right. That's the purpose, not to abstain from it. So he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Damnation, someone thinks, that's hell. No, it's not talking about that. He's talking to save people who are a part of the body. It's judgment on them. It is God's judgment on them for not being faithful stewards, not being proper executors, not taking care of the things that God had said, despising His testament, the things that He wrote. That's what He's saying. So because you didn't listen to me, because you didn't obey me, there's damnation coming. There's judgment coming for you, believer. Not heaven and hell. That took taken care of at the cross. Okay, I don't want anyone confusing what I'm saying. There's judgment for you, though, believer. Just like our children, when they disobey us, there's a punishment for them. At least there should be. There's a punishment for them when they disobey us. Because we hate them and want to make their life miserable, right? No, because we love them and want to help them. And that's what God does. To discern the Lord's body is to reject the laws, is to reject the laws of His kingdom, which He appointed to His churches. As the executors, He did that at the Lord's Supper. Now, regarding neglect of the table, Edward T. Hiscock said this, in Principles and Practices for Baptist Churches. Here's what he said. Few signs more effectually tell of a spiritual decline in the individual soul or in the church than a neglect of the sacred communion. Now, let me read that again. Few signs more effectually tell of a spiritual decline in the individual soul or in the church than a neglect of the sacred communion. If somebody abstains from that, what he's saying, if they deem themselves unworthy for whatever reason and they don't partake, again, the purpose is not for you to abstain, it's for you to get things right. But if that happens, he's saying few things more effectually tell of a spiritual decline in the individual soul or the church. That's a big indicator that that person has declined spiritually. That's what that's saying. That's what he said. This was written in the late 1800s. He said, it is the duty of every believer to be baptized. You get every believer. It's the duty of every believer to be baptized. God just expects that's going to happen. He's like, why wouldn't you obey me? I'm your Savior. I died for you. I gave you eternal life. Why wouldn't you obey me and get baptized and want to follow me when I died for you? Doesn't that make sense that he would do that? That he'd expect that? It's the duty of every believer to be baptized, Hiscock said. And he goes on to say this, and the duty of every baptized believer to commemorate the dying love of his Lord at the supper. It is your duty to be a part of that. Why? Because you're part of this body. We're that one bread. And it's a closed table meant just for the members of this church, the members of this body. And again, everywhere I go, my body shows up. So why wouldn't every member here partake in that supper? It's your duty to partake of it. If we don't see the importance of it, maybe there may be some misunderstanding there, and I want to clarify that. If there's some misunderstanding, I want to help you to understand it. But if you understand and you still choose not to partake of it, then you're just despising the Lord's body. That's what I'm seeing right here. That's what His Word is saying. It's our duty. It's the duty of every baptized believer to commemorate the dying love of his Lord at the supper. That's just our duty. Not legalism, that's our duty. Because we're a part of this body. Just like when somebody gets saved, why won't you get baptized? If someone professes to have been saved and they're unwilling to get baptized, I question their salvation. Amen. I don't believe you got saved. I don't believe it. If you're fighting getting baptized, I'm not saying you don't understand it and you're like, I'm not doing that. I don't understand it. No one's shown you anything in the Bible about it. But I'm saying if someone sits down and shows you, no, here's what God says. Here's where He says He's commanded you to get baptized. You know, those that are saved and you see it and, oh, okay. And then you're like, I'm still not doing that. Why wouldn't you want to follow your Lord? So I'd say the same thing to someone that has been baptized, become a member of anybody, it doesn't have to be this one, anybody, and refuses to partake of the Lord's Supper. Why would you do that? And I'm not saying you're not saved, but I'm saying you're despising the Lord's body. That's what this book is saying. You're not discerning the Lord's body. And he says, he gives a grave warning. He says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now God's design is for us to examine ourselves and come to the table worthily. That's how he wants it. That's what verses 28 through 30 are talking about. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Okay, those that eat and drink unworthily bring damnation on themselves because they don't discern the Lord's body, and it causes, you know, sickness and even death. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Now, if someone comes to the table unworthily, it's because they don't discern the Lord's body. That's what it says. There's no discernment. Verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, you all tell me, you help me out. What is the Lord's body? I want you to tell me. Brother Brad, Josh, Brother Josh, you can't answer. Somebody else tell me, what is the Lord's body? Okay, specifically, what is it?
Church.
It's his church. Those baptized members that are a part of his body, that church, that local assembly. Okay, so it says, if you eat and drink unworthily, you bring damnation on yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. So there's no discernment there, okay? Now, from here, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. And it's important you see this. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Now, those of us that are familiar with this passage, we know what's in this passage we're about to look at. What would we call it? Who knows? Y'all are asleep. Let me turn the air on. I'm going to turn the air on. We're going to wake us up. So what's being discussed in this passage? Hebrews chapter 5, the end of chapter 5, going into verse 6. The doctrine of Christ, which is dealing with what? Help me. We're talking about the body, right? What is the body? The church. Thank you. So the body is the church. The doctrine of Christ, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. So it's the foundation. The doctrine of Christ is the foundation of that. Okay, that's what you build the church on, is the doctrine of Christ. Okay, and we're talking about discernment. If somebody comes and eats and drinks unworthily, it's because they don't discern the Lord's body. They don't understand. They can't tell right from wrong, basically, about the church. They're not understanding things because they're spiritual babies. It's also, you can see the milk of the word here. I really could spend a whole hour just preaching on this right here. I'm going to try and give it to us in about 5 minutes, okay? All right, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. So he's saying you guys should be teaching, okay? But there's a problem. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He said you should be teaching. You've had enough. You should know enough, but you're not ready yet. Someone's got to teach you again, okay? They got to teach you the first principles, which are the oracles of God. Look at this. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You need milk. Now, you can't handle strong meat. So what is that saying about them? He said, you should be able to eat meat, but you can't. So what's he saying about them spiritually? Are they spiritually strong or weak? Are they spiritually mature or young? Now, how young? Babies, right? Because babies are the only, can only handle milk. I mean, even as soon as kids start getting, you know, one, even two, three, four, they can start handling adult type food. Okay? So they need milk. So they're spiritual babies at best. All right, they should be teaching, but they can't because they don't understand these things, okay? They need milk and not strong meat. Look at this. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There it is. They're babies, okay? Verse 14, but strong meat, this is important. Pay attention. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to do what? To discern both good and evil. Now remember, they didn't discern the Lord's body, right? Only got 5 minutes. I need help. Right? Is that what was going on in Corinth? They didn't discern the Lord's body? Okay. So, because these people didn't understand the milk of the word, they couldn't handle strong meat, they needed milk. Their senses weren't exercised to discern both good and evil. So we look at the primary principles, the milk of the word, and the doctrine of Christ. It's all speaking about the same thing. Okay, we get it in chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So he says, we need to leave this. I hope I've explained it to you is what he's saying. I hope you get it. We're going to move on now because I want to get you past this. But he's about to tell us what the doctrine of Christ is, what these primary principles are. Okay, he's going to give it to us. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Those six principles he gives them right there. That's the doctrine of Christ. He says, you don't understand that. That's why you're stuck here on milk. You have need that one teach you again. So he teaches them and says, let's move on now. I want you to get past this so you can move beyond this, so you can have some discernment, is what he's saying. And that's the problem that was going on over here in Corinth. They didn't discern the Lord's body. Why? They didn't understand church doctrine. They didn't get it. It missed them. They didn't understand it. It went over their head somewhere. And they never stopped anyone to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't get that. Help me understand this. I'm not connecting everything. That's what we need to do. Because if we don't get the foundation, you can't build up if you have no foundation. Amen. You can't get to meet the harder things of the Word of God, the more difficult things, when you're choking on milk. You won't do it. You're going to end up getting mad and you're going to end up despising the church of God. That's what happens. This is why we need to examine ourselves. They didn't have any discernment. They didn't discern the Lord's body because they didn't understand doctrine. This is another reason it's so important we're always here. Because there's constantly teaching going on. And these things have been gone over and over and over and over. And look, I tell everyone here, if you don't understand something, ask me. I'll try to explain it a better way. I'll try to help it make sense. Sometimes it's there's nothing you can do. You're not going to get it the first time. That's all of us. I've been there, done. I'm still there. But the more you hear it, the more you get it. And here's the thing. As we examine ourselves, maybe you realize that's a problem. I don't understand church doctrine. I'm not able to discern the Lord's body because I don't get this. I don't even understand it really. So maybe in your examination of yourself, what you need to do is say, God, I need you to help me understand. Because babies got to partake of the Lord's Supper, by the way. I'm not talking about little physical babies. I'm talking about babies spiritually. They got to partake of it because they were members of that body. But it's all determined by direction. I said that earlier, remember? What direction are we going? That's what matters. We might not have everything the way we should be, but if we're facing Jesus and we're going towards Jesus, then praise the Lord. That's what we want. But if we're going this way, that's the wrong direction. That's no good. You're unworthy. But if you're facing this way and you're striving and you're trying and you're working, say, I don't understand everything, but I see that I need to. And Lord, I want to. Lord, help me understand these things. And if you ask God for wisdom and understanding, guess what? He'll give it to you. He will. Amen. I've seen Him do it more than once for me. Many times over, even with the Word of God, He's opened my understanding to things that I didn't understand. I mean, I'm serious. I went to Him, I said, God, I don't understand this at all. I do not get this. This makes zero sense to me. You have to teach me. And He just starts enlightening you. I don't even know how it happens. It's just like one of you, like, oh, there it is. I see it. Wow. I never saw that before. And He just gives you that understanding. But that's what we need to do. That's the attitude we need to have. We need to properly discern the Lord's body. We need to understand the milk of the Word. If we don't understand it, ask. That's how you can begin to understand it. Let's get it explained again, maybe a different way. Maybe something else will make it click, but we need to understand it. But honestly, it's pretty simple. If the Lord Jesus walked in here, I don't think anyone in here would just turn around and walk out this door. Oh, Jesus is coming, I'm out of here. We wouldn't despise Him like that. We'd fall down at His feet and worship Him. We wouldn't despise His body. It's really that simple. And if you're a part of it, I mean, you don't despise any part of your body. I mean, those of you that have ever, you know, a few weeks back, I shot myself with a staple gun right in my hand. That hurt. And it affected my whole body. As soon as I shot, I was like, and a staple sticking out of my hand. I was like, man, it right in the joint too. And I pulled it out and it hurt for about 3 weeks because it hit right in the joint. It affected my whole body. That's how we are with our body. We get that. So why would I despise? That finger's not that important. I wouldn't despise this finger just because it got hurt. No, we understand that you take care of and love the body, this whole thing. I don't want any of it getting stabbed with a staple. So it's that simple with the Lord's church. It should be that important. It's His body. And we're a part of it. Praise God. Paul's admonition for us is to judge ourselves and seek unity. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Look at that. Remember, he says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. You're bringing judgment on yourself, damnation. God's judgment's going to fall hard on you. But look what he says. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He says, hey, if you'll fix it yourself, if you'll examine yourself and fix it, guess what? Praise God, you don't have to worry about it. There's going to be no judgment. He's not going to judge you because you already took care of it. You took care of it. See how it purifies us? See, as we come to the Lord's table, how it purifies us, cleanses us? We fix it, and God says, there's no need for me to bring damnation on you now because you took care of it. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. See, look at that. If God does judge us, if that condemnation does come down, if that damnation comes down on us, we're chastened of the Lord. Why are we chastened? Because we're saved. Because He only chastens His children. Read about it in Hebrews 12. He chastens His children because He loves us. So if judgment does fall on you, it's because God loves you. If you do end up weak or sickly or even dead, it's because God loves you. I'm telling you, there's some serious consequences to coming and partaking of this table unworthily. That's why we need to examine ourselves. Some are weak and sickly and some are even asleep. He says it's talking about death. It's no joke. It's no small matter for us. It's a serious thing. It's not just some religious ritual we do. Are we going to eat and drink unworthily, bring damnation on ourselves? Do we despise the church of God? Hey, maybe you're not even saved. Do you need salvation? Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. You say, I've been born again. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. But you're living like the devil. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. He went on to tell the same church the same thing because of how wicked they were living. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself, see if you be in the faith. They weren't living right. They had all kinds of problems. He said, you examine yourself. Are you here and you don't know if you're saved? And Jesus died in your place, died to offer you eternal life. He'll give it to you, praise God. That's what this table represents, Him dying for us, Him giving His body, shedding His blood so we can have forgiveness of sins. For the saved person, the member of a body, it's looking back and saying, thank you, God, for doing that for me. For somebody that's not lost, you don't have that. You got to come to Him. If you die, you will split hell wide open. If you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not going to be good for you. You will go to hell. But let me tell you this. If you come to Him and ask Him to be your Savior, He will change you. Amen. He'll give you a new nature. You'll be born again. He'll give you the ability to live after the new man. Not stuck in the old way. You have no choice if you're lost. That's all you've got. You don't have spiritual life in you. You need salvation if you don't know that. Christians, those of us especially that are members of this body, you've been baptized here and you're a member here, you need to examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. I'm sorry, not see if you be in the faith. Examine yourself and see if you're worthy to take the Lord's Supper and not bring damnation on yourself. Again, the answer isn't, I'm not worthy, so I'm not partaking. No, the answer is, I'm not worthy, so let me get it right. And that may mean you have to go talk to somebody. Maybe you've wronged them. Maybe they've wronged you. Get it right. Whatever it is. I've been looking at myself for the last 2 weeks, honestly. Saying, God, what do I need to do? How can I be what you want me to be? I've been examining myself. And he's shown me some things, and I'm working on them. And I thank God for it. I ask you to do the same thing now. As this invitation starts, you come forward, talk to the Lord. If you need salvation, you've never been born again, you want to hear about it, you want to know what it means to be saved, come talk to me. Right now, you can come up here right now and talk to me. I'll take the Bible and show you. Don't fight it. If God's convicting you right now, don't fight it. Don't fight it. You can grieve that spirit. You're going to harden your own heart to it, to what God's trying to do, and reject him and die and go to hell of your own free will because you chose it. Don't do that. Let him save you. Father, we come before you, Lord.